So to tell you a little bit about my story, now I'll tell you a little bit about what happened to me as a child and how I had some of the things that I had experienced, but I really didn't realize until after I left the transgender lifestyle some of the things that had happened in childhood that made me feel those things. I really, at the time, just believed I was born that way. That's what the culture tells you. That's what I believed. And so I didn't understand these connections. But just to go in logical order, I'll start there. But when I was a kid, I grew up in the church. I was raised in a Christian home. I was raised in a Christian school. And we were at church every time the door was open. And, you know, I really believed that we were supposed to have the perfect family and the perfect American life. And, you know, I didn't understand. If some of y'all have had trouble with your parents, I believe that they were supposed to be perfect. They were Christians and they were never going to hurt me and they were going to raise me perfectly. I didn't understand that, you know, that they were sinners too. But I had a very hard relationship with my mom. She claimed to be a Christian, but she was very, very legalistic, very hard on me. She was very critical and judgmental, and she will tell you that she was kind of a Pharisee, very self-righteous, but it was all about these external works in the flesh, you know, and if you were struggling, you just needed to try harder. I remember at times I was doubting my faith, and it was like, well, you just need to go to church more. You need to try harder, and that's what we would hear over and over, but it became kind of this toxic environment. I didn't see a lot of love. I didn't see a lot of joy in her. And so the Christian life was not really something I wanted when I would look at her faith. And I felt rejected a lot. Now, my dad, I was very close to my dad. I was very close to my brother. But I really felt rejected by my mom. She was always telling me to just go away, just get off her, leave her alone. Didn't want me around a lot. And so as a child, that was very confusing. You know, I'm supposed to be a girl, but I'm only loved by the men in my family. And, you know, on top of that, my mom treated my brother a lot differently than me. He was very quiet and obedient. I couldn't see that at the time, that there was a reason for that. There was a personality difference there. He was very much like my mom in personality, so they got along real well. But I just, at a very young age, began to hate being a girl and just wanted to be a boy. I saw them as being loved and as being more loving. I was also very distant from my sister, who, granted, was a lot older than me. She was 8 years older. We just didn't have much of a relationship. She wasn't necessarily mean to me, just I didn't really know her, to be honest. And so I grew up with kind of a clear gender divide in the house and began to identify more with my brother and with my dad. And my dad and I were inseparable when I was a kid. We were attached at the hip, so I went everywhere with him. But over time, that became more and more confusing, and I began to act a little more like a boy. And the more I acted like a boy, the more I began to be rejected by girls. I would go to school, and the girls at school would reject me. And then the girls at church were rejecting me. And so I really developed a hatred of women very early in my life. And it was hard because I was told that I was a girl, and yet I was beginning to hate them. And it was, I really began a lot of self-hatred. And throughout the years, in fact, when I was little, I began to suffer quite a bit of guilt because I was told, I'd found out that my mom had miscarried two boys between my brother and I. And I thought it was cool when I first found out, and I was like, hey, if my brothers had lived, we'd have five kids instead of three. And that was exciting because I didn't get along well with my sister, and so I really, it was just my brother and I. They said, well, no, we only wanted three kids. If one of them had lived, you wouldn't be here. And I remember, I know that they meant for that to show me that God must have really had a plan for me, that he really wanted me here. But to me, it was like, you know, well, God killed my brothers. And I just felt like God did this on purpose, and I couldn't understand why God would kill these two boys and then bring this girl that her mother doesn't even want. You know, and I think part of my mom's problem, too, is I was conceived right after the second one. She'd been through a lot of trauma. She almost died. In fact, she had very much a near-death experience with the second miscarriage. So I think there was still a lot of trauma from that. I don't think she had completely grieved over that. So there was just a lot of problems there and a lot of things that I think contributed early on. But I didn't understand all that. I was very young when I found all this out. And so I just began to identify as a boy very early in life, and I began to live in this fantasy world. I didn't really tell anybody, but I began to see myself as a boy. I would write stories about being a boy and begin to live in my own little world. And then when I was 8 years old, I was molested by a boy that was only a year older than me. And that really began to change me. And all of a sudden, I'm getting love and sex and things that I shouldn't understand yet, shouldn't have been exposed to yet, and it all gets confused. And it really began to change who I was, and I really began to be angry with God. I really began to doubt my faith. They're telling me about this loving, wonderful God, and yet I'm feeling completely rejected, and I just got to where I didn't even want to go to school. But throughout the years, as I'm getting more and more angry with God, I can see getting more distant from my family. And when I was in college, I had begun to just really become promiscuous. I was trying to have all these relationships with these different guys, trying to find happiness somehow. And I was just, no matter what I was doing, couldn't find any kind of happiness. And I remember I kept thinking, you know, what's wrong with me? Why can't I find peace? Why can't I find happiness no matter what I'm doing? I was just miserable. I'd spent years partying, doing all the things my parents had ever said not to do. In fact, when I was 16, I told God I would never serve him again. Just completely walked away from the faith. And I just wanted nothing to do with Christianity or the church or any of it. And so after years of partying, being at the bars and all this, I was so miserable and so empty and so broken. And I thought, the reason that I'm not happy is because I was supposed to be a man. And I remember at that moment, I hadn't even heard of transgender back then. In fact, back then, almost nobody talked about being transgender. We forget how much the culture has changed in 10 years or so. This was in 2007. And back then, it was almost unheard of. In fact, I had to look up the what I was feeling in Google. I literally typed into Google, girl becoming a boy, just to see if anybody felt like I did, to see if there was anything to call it, because I had no clue. But I found out about these transgenders, and I thought, wow, this is everything I've been looking for. And I found a support group that would show me how to do this. And so I went, and they told me how brave I was, and that they said, oh, in a year or so, hormones, no one's ever even going to know you were a girl. That's what I'd been waiting to hear all my life. And I thought that was my ticket to freedom. That's what was going to find me happiness. And so I began to, I had to, the first legal requirement, I had to go to a licensed therapist at the time, and I had to have 3 sessions with her. And I was not interested in counseling, but just in order to get a letter certifying that I had this condition to get the hormones, I had to go to these sessions. And so about the 3rd session or so, she put down her notebook and she looked at me and looked right in my eyes and she said, wow, you really have issues with your mom. And I was stunned. I was like, how did we get from talking about me being a man to talking about my mom? And I couldn't make the connection, but she had. And I just kind of blew up at her and I said, I am not here to talk about my mom. I was very angry and I didn't want to talk about it. And she said, so you just want me to give you the hormones? I said, yes, that's all I'm here for. And so she just gave me the letter that I needed to start my hormones, and I was on my merry way. And I thought I would ride off into the sunset of freedom and happiness, never to look back. I began to notice effects within the first few months. My voice began to get lower. I began to grow facial hair. My body was changing shape slightly. You know, and all these wonderful, amazing things I thought. I had my name legally changed. And it just, I began to really believe that I was going to become a man. And I never thought about what it would really, you know, what really made it, what would really make me male, I guess is what I'm trying to say. I never really thought about how do you transition other than these physical changes. So when I decided after my, in 2009, I went to have a surgery. I had what's called a double mastectomy to make me look like I had a male chest. And I'll never forget at the time, my aunt had written me a letter. And she said, Laura, you just need to run away from this. This is from the pit of hell and the enemy's after you and all this. And I don't even remember. I was so angry. I didn't talk to her for years. But I got to tell you, that letter had a huge impact on me. And this is always my encouragement to share the gospel, even when maybe people aren't ready to hear it. You know, the Lord tells us that seeds take time to grow. I didn't talk to her for several years, but it still had a huge impact on me because as I was laying there on the operating table, and I could look down at these purple dotted cut lines all over my chest. It was like something out of a horror movie as I was waiting for the doctor to come in. And I thought, what if she's right? What if I don't wake up from this? What if I really am in the hands of Satan? And so for the first time in many years, that day as I was laying on the operating table, I prayed and I asked God to spare my life. You know, and it wasn't this big moment of salvation. It wasn't transformational at that moment. But it was just an honest admission that I really did believe in God. And I knew that he was real. And I knew that I needed him. And so that moment had a big impact in my life because after that, the Lord really began to draw me slowly but surely. That was only about a year into my transition. And all this time that my parents thought that their prayers weren't being answered, God was drawing me little by little. But I really couldn't see that at the time. But just for an example, I was driving down the road one day listening to all my rock music and all this horrible stuff, and I was tired of it. And all of a sudden, I said, I'm just so sick of this music and just this dark, depressing stuff, and I just turned it off and turned on the Christian radio. And I can't explain that on this earth other than, you know, the Lord just put that on my heart. But throughout this year, you know, I kept thinking that I was going to find happiness. But the more I transitioned, the more miserable I became. I kept thinking that as people perceived me as male, that I would find more happiness. But I didn't. The more that I was perceived as male, the more miserable I became because I knew I was living a lie. You know, it was one thing when people knew, but once people really began to believe it, all of a sudden I had to reinvent my childhood all the time. I used to change jobs over and over and over until I would pass more. You know, and after my chest surgery, it was interesting because I went back to work, and my boss at the time was a lesbian. She was very pro-LGBT. She was all for this. She helped plan my trip. And I came back, and she said, about 4 weeks after I'd gotten back, she came to me and got in my face one day, and she said, look, I don't know what's wrong with you, but you're moping around here. You're not working as hard. You're depressed. You're unmotivated. And I don't know what's wrong, but I want the old Jake back. Jake was my name at the time. And I was stunned. I was like, what do you mean? I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life, you know. And so I kind of blew her off and I said, look, you know, I'm still recovering or whatever. I'll be fine. But I went home that night and I thought, what is she seeing in me that I'm not seeing in myself? And when I finally thought about it and was honest with myself, I realized that my surgery hadn't made me a man. I realized that all I had done was change the outer body. And nothing had changed on the inside, and I was very angry. And I thought, well, it's because I still have all these female organs. So eventually I had all the female organs removed. And I really thought I was going to find peace with my body. And when that still didn't work, I thought, well, it's, you know, I still need other surgeries. And so when I began to research them, I was very, very angry because no one had told me how bad these surgeries were. Not only do they are they not good long-term, just medically, but they're not all that effective, and I won't get into details here, but just to tell you, there are people. The media is not telling you how bad these surgeries are. There's a girl that I've been made aware of that I don't know her personally, but an inside source that has met her. This girl has had 31 corrective surgeries because it has been so bad. And these surgeries that they are doing on people are just mutilating them. And so it would have destroyed me forever. Thankfully, by God's grace, because I wanted it anyway, because I wanted it so badly. But by God's grace, I couldn't have afforded it. No insurance covered it at the time. It would have cost me about $100,000. And I knew I was never going to have that. And so I felt like a freak, stuck somewhere in between, you know. And I was very angry. But I realized that even if I had had more surgeries, it was never going to make me a man. You know, I realized that no matter what I did, I couldn't change who I was inside. In fact, one day I was standing around in a group of guys, and I was at this new job where they only knew me as male. They thought I was just one of the guys, and we're just talking. And it was something that I could not put my finger on, something intangible that I just knew deep down inside that I was not one of them, that there was a clear difference between me and these other guys. And I began to realize that there really is such thing as male and female. They're not just these arbitrary things our society has made up for convenience. God really did make male and female different. And that may sound crazy to some of us, but that's what society is teaching us, that humans have just made this up. In fact, now they're teaching in some schools, they've been teaching this to preschoolers, that when you were born, that mommy and daddy didn't know what gender you were, and the doctor just assigned one. They're actually teaching this to preschoolers. And so, you know, society is trying to make it to where there is no difference between male and female. But I have learned that there absolutely is. And I was angry because I didn't want to be a girl. And so I just resolved to live life somewhere in between, somewhere the best that I could. But I became more and more and more depressed. And over the years, my mom, who I had been angry with all this time, the only reason I was really even in contact with her was because of my partner. He had lost his, he was actually transgender as well. He was a male living as a female. And he had lost his mother when he was only 7 years old. And he lost his dad very early in life too, when I think he was about 19. And so he was constantly pushing me to go spend time with my mom and dad, even though I hated it. But that's one of those prayers that God was answering. They didn't see how God was using my partner. God used him in a lot of ways, even though this was a sinful relationship. You know, God will turn everything for his glory. And so he was pressuring me to go spend time with mom. And so I kept in contact with them. And then one day my mom asked me to make a website for her Bible study. And I didn't care much about the Bible study, but I thought, okay, that's fine. I'll make a website. And so as I did, I thought it was a good idea to make a summary of each lesson. just aesthetically, I thought it would look good on the website and give people that information. And as I did, I began to read her notes. And as I began to read her notes, the Word of God just began to penetrate my heart. You know, there's a verse in one of my favorite life verses is Psalm 107:20. It says, He sent His Word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. It really is the Word of God that heals. And so it began to really open my heart toward God. And all of a sudden, I went from seeing the Word of God as God's rule book to all of a sudden seeing the heart and the character of God. And I could begin to see God revealing Himself over and over and over through the Word. And I was blown away by how He was revealing the Messiah in the Old Testament, and how this wasn't like God's plan B because Israel didn't get it right. This was His plan from the very beginning, and He'd been preparing them all along. And I was blown away by God's faithfulness to Israel throughout. You know, He was faithful both in the judgment that He brought when He would take them off as slaves, and to His promises that were not based on their merit or their ability to keep the law, but based on His eternal covenants. And so as I saw His faithfulness to Israel, I thought, if God is faithful to them, He would be faithful to me too. And I began to understand that He was trustworthy. And so I began to hunger more and more for God. And I began to call my mom and ask her questions about the Bible. And as I did, she would just very gently answer my questions. And we began to talk. And I was blown away by some of the things she was teaching. And all of a sudden, I went from hardly ever talking to my mom. You know, we were only talking once in a while when I would feel guilty, basically, after not talking to her for a while. And I went to, all of a sudden, was talking to her every single day. After work, I would call her on my way home. And about 6 months went by, and I said, Mom, what has happened to me? 6 months ago, I was 180 degrees from where I am now. I said, all I want is to hear the Word of God. And she said, I've been praying that God would draw you back like a magnet. That's exactly what God had done. It really was the work of the Holy Spirit. It was a supernatural work that could only be done by prayer. And yes, people had shared with me. There had been much seed planted. God uses all those things, but ultimately it's a work of God that only He could do. And as we began to talk, I remember there was a moment where something dramatic had come up in life. I don't remember what it was. I had some big decision. I don't even recall, but I do remember this. I asked Mom what to do, and Mom had always been in my life the one who would fix everything. As much as I was angry with her, she always had a solution. She always had the right thing to do, and she would give me step 1, 2, 3 of how to fix it. And I'll never forget that day as I called her you know, ready for mom's answer. And she said, honey, you just need to trust the Lord. And I was blown away. I was like, what? Like, who are you and what have you done to my mother? And she said, honey, you just need to trust the Lord. He will take care of this. And I knew at that moment, it was like I knew the gospel was true. Because I had seen a transformation in my mother. I said, Mom, what's happened to you? She said, she told me how she had fully surrendered her life to Jesus and allowed him to change her by the power of the Holy Spirit. And this was no longer just a work in her own flesh. She wasn't pulling herself up by her bootstraps anymore and trying harder. She was surrendering herself to Christ every single day and allowing him to work in her heart. And she was so transformed that I knew it was all true, and not just historically true, not just intellectually true, but all of a sudden it was real. And I knew there was a resurrecting power in Christ. And so it was that night that I went home and I began to confess my sin to the Lord. But I honestly at that time didn't believe that God would save me. I thought, why would God want me? I thought, you know, there were times in my life that I not only hated God, I hated Christians, I had spoken against him many times. I had denied him. There were times in high school that I was praying to Satan, asking him to keep people from coming to know Jesus. And I thought, there is no way that God wants me. I am so damaged. I am so far gone. And over the next couple of days, I wrestled with it, but I wanted so desperately to know that God wanted me. And I got to this very lowly place, much like I learned the prodigal son was at after I read that story, of how he just wanted to go home and be a servant. He thought, maybe my father will just let me be a servant again. And so I said, God, I don't know if you'll ever want me again, but I want to serve you again. And I was riding down this glass elevator at work, and I could kind of see out over the city. And I was watching this couple kind of cross the street. And God said, start with them. And I was like, what? I didn't expect to hear from God. I was like, that wasn't God. You know, I'm just hearing things. I've never heard God speak to me before, but it was so clear. And I thought, well, this is crazy. You know, I'm not hearing from God. And I had gone outside for a break, and I thought, they'll be way down the street by then anyway. By the time I get out there, I'm just hearing things. I'm not going to worry about it. But I looked around, and I thought, great. They've stopped at the bus stop right in front of my building. So, of course, you know, and I was trying to blow it off, and I kept, you know, going back and forth. And I thought, you know, by the time I get over there, the bus will come and it'll be awkward. We'll be like in mid-conversation. I'm just making all these excuses. And I went back in the building 4 times and there was an elephant on my chest. I could not get any peace. And I was like, I don't know what I'm going to say, but I have to go talk to these people. And it was funny because as I walked up to the side of the bus stop, you know, a lot of times if you walk up to people in public, they may kind of notice you, but a lot of times they're not all that interested necessarily, but I swear both of them turned to the side, looked at me, and just stared at me like they were waiting for me to say something. And I was like, okay. I said, hi. I never do this, but I just feel like God wants me to pray with you. And God was kind of feeding me one word at a time. I didn't realize what I was supposed to say. In fact, it kind of surprised me because I expected something out of a movie like, thus says the Lord, you know, like I was going to have some big prophecy. But no, God just wanted me to pray with them. And I said, is there anything I can pray with you about? And tears started streaming down their faces. They said, yes, we've just moved to town. We don't know anybody. We don't have a job. I mean, I can't remember the laundry list these people told me. I mean, if anybody in Tulsa needed prayer, it was these people. And I was so stunned there for a moment. And I said, okay, let's pray. And remember, I have just literally, other than a couple of prayers in my life, I don't know how to pray. I'm not really even saved at this point. But I just was willing to trust God. He sent me over here. So I grabbed their hands and I started to pray. And when I did, the Holy Spirit came on me with such power that I couldn't even stand up straight. I could feel the presence of God like I have never felt in my life. And all of a sudden, I couldn't even stand up straight. And if they hadn't been sitting down, I'd have pulled us all to the ground, most likely. And after I was done praying, I remember feeling like light burst forth from my chest. I was totally made a new creation. I remember feeling so changed and transformed in that moment that I knew that I was a brand new creature. And I knew I was changed. And all of a sudden, everything came flooding back. I could hear the hymns from my childhood. I began to hear scriptures that I had memorized. And all I wanted, I was just filled with the Holy Spirit. And I remember I called my mom to tell her what had happened. And I've since asked her. She said she knew I was different because there had been such a radical change in me. I went back to the office that day. I couldn't even hardly work. I was so excited. And I'm just listening to all these hymns. And everything is just being made new. And I was so hungry for the Word of God. And I began to I thought I was going to be a man of God, you know, because I didn't know how to fix this. I thought, well, you know, I got saved living as a man. I'm just going to be a man of God. And so I began to be so hungry for the Word. I began to listen to either the audio Bible or Bible study teachers, something to, along those lines, Christian radio, all day long at work. I'm just pouring the Word of God into me. And I'm still calling my mom every day to ask her questions. And I was so hungry for the Word of God. It's all I wanted. And I was just being transformed every day. Romans 12, we memorized Romans 12, 1 earlier, verse 2 says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, and I was being changed. And then I had been listening to Pat Campbell's show on KFAQ 1170, if anybody's familiar with that show, for years. And this is another one of the ways that God's prayers were being answered. For 6 years, I had been a fan of this show. And all of a sudden, one day, he starts having a regular guest on named Dr. Everett Piper. I don't know how many people know him. I'm a huge fan of Everett Piper. We've actually become good friends since then. But at the time, I started hearing him on the radio, and he was this wonderful speaker. He was very eloquent, you know, and I just was a big fan because he was speaking so much truth in a culture when everybody's tiptoeing and sugarcoating everything. And he was honestly just telling the truth. And it was like breathing air again when you've been drowning under the water. And I just couldn't wait all week. I would look forward to hearing this man tell me the truth. And he wasn't even talking about transgender issues at first, but it was hard, challenging things a lot of times. And then all of a sudden he was talking about transgender one day, and I was like, man, like, it was kind of like bingo, though. Like, one day that number was going to come up. I knew one day he would address this because it was the biggest issue in the culture. And I thought, you know, he just doesn't understand where I'm at. I've become a Christian. He doesn't know that. I thought, next week he'll be onto a new subject, and I'm just not going to worry about it. But, you know, the next week he was talking about the same thing. And again, the next week, and the next week, and the next week. And all of a sudden, he's banging the same drum every single week talking about this issue. And I was like, man, is he ever going to get off this? In fact, it got so bad that his wife later told me that she was afraid that he was going to get pigeonholed on that issue. She wanted him to tell Pat Campbell to get onto a new subject. But they would talk about this over and over and over. And all of a sudden, I started to listen. And I realized that what he was saying wasn't hateful. What he actually said was, we are not just made up of our instincts, our feelings, and our desires. We are made in the image of God, and we can choose our behavior despite how we feel. And that was a radical thought to me, to identify as God sees me and not how I feel. And so around that time, my dad had been talking to me about prophecy, about Jesus returning and all this, and I'm wrestling with I said, God, I don't know how to fix this. But I thought maybe Jesus will come back and I'm just not going to have to worry about it. And I'll just show up in heaven and be like, oops, I ran out of time. You know, like I really would have changed. You know, I was trying to deceive myself because I honestly didn't know how to fix all this. And so I called my mom one day as I'm getting excited about Jesus coming back. And I said, Mom, what are you studying? And she said, I've been studying on the judgment seat of Christ. I was like, whoa. Like, what do you mean? Like, we're going to stand before Christ one day and give an account of our life? Like, I've got to deal with this. I'm not ready to stand before Christ. And so I begged the Lord with all my heart. And I said, God, whatever it takes, I want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. I don't know what you have to do to me, but I'm willing, whatever that is. And God said, if you stood before me tonight, what name would I call? And I was stunned. I thought, well, I didn't think it mattered. You know, what do you mean? And he reminded me of John chapter 1, where it says, Jesus Christ himself is the creator. And he said, you cannot claim to love me and yet reject my creation. And there was a moment there where I thought God was condemning me. I thought maybe he's telling me that I'm just wasting my time. But in the most loving voice I've ever heard in all my life, the creator of all the universe, said, let me tell you who you are. And I realized that I was already defined, that I was created with a plan and a purpose and with an identity. And it's not mine to discover, it's not mine to define. It's for God to reveal that to me. And it was like, okay, Lord, I'm willing to leave the transgender lifestyle. And he had really been opening my eyes to how insane it was all getting and how insane the culture was getting. And in fact, I realized with the Target bathroom policy, remember a few years ago how they had, and they still do actually to this day, they will allow anyone to go into any restroom however they identify. And in fact, there have been multiple assaults at Target. Well, not so much assaults, but like with men peeping in on women and all kinds of problems because of that. But even I knew that was insane. I actually signed the Target boycott Target pledge from American Family Association about 4 months before I left the transgender lifestyle. I knew it was wrong, but I didn't know how to fix it. I really felt like it was beyond fixing. And so I wrestled with it over and over and over. And finally, I got so convicted one night. I knew God had made it so clear I had to get out of it. And I said, God, I don't know what to do. They only know me as male. I've been at this job 4 years, and I'm only known as a man. What am I supposed to do? Just show up in a dress and say, just kidding, I'm really a girl. I said, I don't know how to fix this. And I cried out to God, and I got so desperate for about a month. I begged the Lord with all my heart to just take my life. I said, please just let me die because there is no way out. And I finally, when I was so desperate, and I said, God, I'm willing to do whatever this costs me. I don't care. Show me how to get out of this. And I had a clear vision one night of Jesus Christ getting down on one knee. He reached his hand into this horrible pit that I was in, and he said, do you trust me? And I remember, I knew at that moment, he was asking me to leave everything. He reminded me of Matthew chapter 16, verses 24 through 26, where he said, if anyone will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, but whosoever loses his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and yet forfeit his own soul? Or what shall he give in exchange for his soul? And I knew that he was asking me to leave everything. But I knew I couldn't stay where I was. And I didn't want to lose it all. I didn't want to face the eternal consequences. I knew no matter what happened in my life, if I just felt like a freak the rest of my life, I was willing to do it for Christ. And I walked away. I walked away from my partner, my job, my financial security, my identity, everything to follow Christ. And I thought I was going to be miserable the rest of my life. I thought I would never look like a girl again. My pictures when I first came home were quite hideous looking. I just looked so weird, and I felt weird because I had been doing this for almost a decade. It was almost 9 years that I had been living that way. And I really had been called a man for a very long time. But a few days after I came, in the first few days I was home, it was horrible. I cried and cried and cried, and I grieved. I didn't realize at the time, but I really was dying to self. That old identity was dying. And the Lord allowed that, and it was a good thing, even though it was incredibly painful. It hurt so much. But a few days later, I went to my mom's Bible study, and I didn't realize that these women had been praying for me for years. In fact, they had written me all these cards that my mom had given me, and they had raised over $1,600 to buy me a new wardrobe. Because I didn't have any women's clothes. I'd gotten rid of them all. And these, when I showed up at the Bible study, these women surrounded me with more love and more joy and affirmation and hugs than I've ever felt in my life from women. And I had needed that all my life. And it was like in that moment that transgender lie just broke. And I knew I was not meant to be a man. And I was totally set free. And it, you know, it took about another 2 or 3 years, really still healing, but God, over those next couple of years, really began to heal me. And as he was faithful to that night that he asked me, or he told me that he would tell me who I was, he showed me over the next 2 to 3 years, and he began to heal me, and he began to show me how he had made me a woman, and how that was a good thing, and how it wasn't a curse that God had made me a woman. I used to think God hated women, and he showed me how wonderful and beautiful it was. And God really has made each and every one of us special. He has taken away all those feelings and desires, and I have fully embraced being a woman. I now love being girly for the first time in my life. You know, and I just want to encourage anyone that has struggled. Psalm 139, and I intended to bring my Bible this morning. I was telling Stephen that I left my suitcase at home, so I don't know if my Bible was in it. But in Psalm 139, it says that he knit us together in our mother's womb. You know, we are fearfully and wonderfully made. And so God really, he hasn't made a mistake with any of us. Oh, sure. Thank you. Psalm 139, I would just encourage each of you to go home and read it. It's one of my most favorite passages. I won't read the whole thing, but just parts of it here. Well, maybe I'll read most of it. This is just one of my favorites, if you all don't mind. Do I still have a few minutes? Okay. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. You comprehend my path and my lying down. You are acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word on my tongue. But behold, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have hedged me behind and before. You have laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Where can I go from your spirit, or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they were all written, the days fashioned for me when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. And so, you know, God knows us so intimately. He knows each and every thought. He knows each and every one of our days. He knows, the rest of our life. He has a plan and a purpose for us. You know, the world will tell you that we're just a cause of biology. You know, we're just atoms randomly put together. I don't even know. I hated science, actually, so I didn't pay much attention. But, you know, evolution teaches us that we have evolved this way. But God says he made us intimately, that he loved each and every one of us and made us with a plan and a purpose. No one's here by accident. So I just want to encourage each one of you to let the Lord define you. You know, don't define yourself by what you feel. Allow the Lord to change those feelings. He has taken away all those feelings and desires if you will truly submit them to his lordship and say, God, I feel these feelings that I'm not supposed to feel. I know these things are wrong and this is not what you intended. These things are not natural. But I know that you will renew me and restore me if I submit to your lordship. And so I just want to thank everyone for coming. Be encouraged for any of those you know are struggling. The Lord really can overcome all these feelings and desires. I never, ever, ever thought I would leave the transgender lifestyle. I used to make fun of people that left it. I thought they were weak. And the fact that I'm standing here or any place else I've shared my story is truly a miracle. So I just want to encourage you, for those you love and know, just keep sharing the gospel, keep praying, and never give up on them. Thank you.
Powerful testimony. Stirs my heart. One thing I just was talking to Laura about earlier before the service is that we just need to be, sometimes when I talk to other believers, because we were talking about how there are people who are struggling, and it could be in both groups, but both camps, but there are people who are struggling. like Laura's story is that inside she knew there was something just not right. But then there's the agenda, the militant group. And sometimes us believers, we just get focused on the militant group, the ones who have the agenda, the LGBTQ agenda. And we get hostile. As they get hostile towards us, we get hostile in return and becomes us versus them. And it's not us versus them, it's them versus God. But what he wants us to do is to reach out, not to beat them up, but to have a compassionate heart. Jesus had compassion for the people, the lost. And for our role, what God is the revenger. Vengeance is with him. Judgment is with him. He's the only one who can do that. So if anybody is against Christianity or opposite, they're against God, and God will deal with that. But what do you want? But he does have a heart of compassion for them, too. And through us, his ambassadors, he wants us to bring that message of reconciliation. But it takes us to have a heart of compassion as well, to reflect his heart. To reflect his heart. And so I just want, from her story, one thing, there's a lot in her story you can learn from. A lot from her testimony you can learn from. And I've learned a great deal. But one thing I want us to remember is to have a heart of compassion. Reflect the Lord's heart. Reach out to these people. Many of them are struggling inside, like she was explaining, struggling inside, knowing that they're living a lie, knowing that something's not right, seeking, pray for them, love them, hold your hand out to them, tell them the truth in love. Have a heart of compassion for everyone, not just LGBTQ, not just transgender, not just this, not just that, but the alcoholic, the one who's struggling with drugs, the one who's struggling with all kinds of different things. Reach them with the truth, the love of God, the gospel message.